Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Monday was media day. The preseason starts in a week. Training camp is underway now. There's plenty to talk about around the Wolves. That includes what the Wolves are going to do with Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert offensively. I want to focus a little bit on that today. A couple of topics related to that. And then also the preview for Jaden McDaniels as we continue our player preview series here at Locked On Wolves. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody, and a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow Locked On Wolves and all of your favorite Locked On podcasts on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves, or I should say you can follow all those shows anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can follow this show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and also at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, media day was Monday, and training camp starts today. The preseason actually starts a week from today, believe it or not. I feel like that time between the start of training camp, the first preseason game, feels to shrink a little bit every year. It feels like it's shrinking a little every year. But the first preseason game is next Tuesday against the Miami Heat, the 4th. And the Wolves have preseason games next Tuesday, Thursday, and the following Sunday, the 9th. So 12 days from now, they'll have three preseason games in the books already. So there's a lot happening here. I want to spend actually not a ton of time on Media Day Monday. Karl-Anthony Towns, I think the headline was Towns missed Media Day due to a non-COVID related illness, was not feeling well. Chris Finch said he was fine. Didn't anticipate him to really miss any of camp. So no Karl-Anthony Towns. Of course, Anthony Edwards spoke, I think generally did a good job expressing genuine remorse for his comments that he made, the hurtful comments he made, the anti-gay comments a couple of weeks ago now. I don't want to sit here and evaluate his apology, but it certainly needed to be addressed in the media day setting. I think he answered the questions well. And, he'll now need to put in the work to show that he means it, right? To show that he obviously made a mistake. The first thing he needed to do was admit that and understand why it was a big deal. And we'll see what he does next in the community in the Twin Cities to kind of hopefully continue to rectify the situation. So those were kind of the headlines from camp. Chris Finch talked a little bit about, or I should say from Media Day, Chris Finch talked a little bit about how, this isn't a headline because it's obvious, but he was excited to talk about how when so much of the league is going small, the Wolves will be happy to go big. These are my words, not his, but two of the best four centers in the league and two of the best four bigs that this league has seen over the past half decade or so in Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. So Chris Finch has, of course, every reason to want to play big. I think that kind of fits under the headline category. Some interesting, fun tidbits from some of the new players. Austin Rivers talking Mighty Ducks. Of course, he did that on Twitter right after signing. I guess that was, mid-July with the Timberwolves. I don't know, just kind of fun media day stuff. Nothing real headline grabbing coming out of media day. I will say, though, something I want to cover here first on the show is related to the Timberwolves offense. And this actually came, this is, of course, the time of year where we're getting all kinds of different season previews for each team. And The Athletic, Zach Harper over at The Athletic, who, of course, used to cover the Wolves several years ago for ESPN, probably a decade plus ago now, does a good job at The Athletic. And, my opinion has been a little bit harder on the Wolves than some writers over the past couple of years. He is doing his season previews right now. Of course, if you do have to have a subscription to The Athletic to read it. But Zach did his Timberwolves preview that posted, when did this post? I guess it did post on Monday. So hot off the presses, and I'm not going to read much of it. It's all things that we've talked about here on the show. He's got their status right now listed as playoff hopeful. By the end of the year, he expects them to be on the brink of contention, or at least that's the goal. I really like the way that he talks through positional changes. Again, things we've talked about on the show, and you can see similar iterations of season previews at all kinds of different outlets. But he kind of breaks down each position, not strictly point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center, but lead guards, wings, forwards, and bigs, which I think is kind of a, again, not rocket science, but I don't know that I've ever seen like a roster breakdown like this, you know, kind of split up in that way. So I think that was actually a good way to look at it. He talks about how the Wolves are certainly better, more talented. They should be a contender, et cetera. He then goes into a little bit of his own little narrative. There's also a Q&A here with John Krasinski, of course, of The Athletic in the Twin Cities. But Harper says, the fits on offense might take some work, but I'm of the opinion, this is Harper speaking, but I'm of the opinion that you want Towns attacking more from the perimeter anyway, because he's such a lethal outside shooter. It forces a lot of tough decisions for opponents. Then he goes on to talk about Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell and their expectations for this year. And then, of course, the playoff question, how will Gobert and of course, then in turn, the Timberwolves as a team perform in the playoffs where Rudy has struggled. The Wolves, of course, historically have struggled. But what I want to focus in on is the Towns attacking from the perimeter question. And this isn't, you know, if you've been listening the last couple of weeks, I've been doing player preview series, some players, one segment, you know, at the end of the rosters, other players, a half show. And then still we'll get to, you know, some of the starters, I'll do an entire show on previewing them. This is not the Karl-Anthony Towns show. But this line about Towns attacking from the perimeter got me thinking a little bit more about what we saw from Towns last year, what was different about Towns' offensive approach than what we'd seen prior to last year, and what will it look like this year? So I want to consider some of those numbers. Our friends over at B-Ball Index have some interesting numbers that I want to go through that kind of illustrate, I think do a good job of illustrating what changed in Towns' game last year. And again, in turn, what could we potentially expect to see this year? And is it more similar to the 2021 and prior version of Karl-Anthony Towns, or is it more similar to what we saw in the 21-22 season in terms of the way he contributes offensively? So I want to do that here next, and then we'll get into Jaden McDaniels and kind of preview him as who I would consider that a fifth man on the roster, the fifth starter, the fifth option offensively. And we'll preview him here to close the show. So we're going to do all that here next. First, though, before we do that, let's talk about our friends over at betonline.net. Betonline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. I actually bet the Cowboys-Giants game on Monday night and took the Cowboys money line. I was happy that I did. That turned out well. I've said this before. Football is, if I'm betting, which isn't a lot often, of course I'm using Bet Online, and I'm also betting football, frankly. The season-long win totals are the way to go when it comes to basketball, in my opinion. I just think it's so much, I'm much better at betting that, you know, the longer-term thing with ideally or theoretically less variance than a game-to-game, you know, betting on individual games. But football for me, that's fun to bet on a game-by-game basis. So I did win Monday on BetOnline. As always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including Major League Baseball, which is now in the stretch run of the regular season, plus MMA, boxing, and golf. You can head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so rounding out the Karl-Anthony Towns, or I guess further playing out my point here with Karl-Anthony Towns on the perimeter, what I would expect to see from Towns this year. Last season, we saw a lot more of Karl-Anthony Towns attacking from the perimeter. The three-point rate actually went down for Towns compared to what we had seen in prior seasons. So, of course, early in Towns' career, the three-pointer, it wasn't shooting a ton of them early under Tom Thibodeau. It wasn't a big part of his game, wasn't a big part of the Wolves' game. But he was over 40% in his first two All-Star seasons in 17-18 and then 18-19. And we saw the three-point rate kind of skyrocket just prior to the COVID year and then, you know, throughout that season. It went from about a quarter of his shots in his first All-Star season to nearly 30% in his next season. And then in the COVID-shortened 19-20 season, which of course saw him have a ton of injuries as well, he only played in 35 games that year and 44.5%. So pretty close to half of his shot attempts were three-pointers. And of course, he was successful from that range, shooting 41.2%, the second best mark of his career, just slightly higher than what he did last year, 41% flat. His best year was his first All-Star campaign back in 17-18 when he was 42.1% from three. So the three-point rate shot all the way up to 44.5% a couple years ago. And then two years ago, the second COVID-shortened season when he played 50 games in 2021, the three-point rate went down to 36%, still the second highest mark of his career. And then this last season, it dropped even further to 30%. So less than one in three of Karl-Anthony Towns' field goal attempts this last season was a three-pointer, which was still the third highest mark of his career, but his lowest since the 18-19 season, his second All-Star year, way back when he was 23 years old. He's now, of course, about to turn 27. And it's a little alarming because he's still a 40% three-point shooter. Last year, 41% for his career, 39.7%, 40% or greater four of the last five seasons from long range. So he needs to be shooting more threes. However, what he did do a lot more of last year was driving from the perimeter. We saw a lot of teams trying to guard him with fours because he was losing fives. He was easily getting his three-point shot off against fives. Against fours. So teams started to try and guard him with fives, try and muck things up,
to guard him with fours. Teams guarded him with fours a lot. And then we're trying to basically muck things up for him if he did get into the post, bring double teams, try and make him pass out of double teams. We've seen Kat struggle with the fancy passes in the post. So the Wolves started putting him on the perimeter more. And teams, and actually the Jazz were one of the first teams to do this because Towns could obviously take fives off the dribble. So teams started to put fours on Towns on the perimeter and say, look, if you come in the post, we'll double you, we'll bring somebody, we'll front you, we'll bring somebody from the backside and kind of bracket you in the post and make life miserable. If you're on the perimeter, we'll play up on you. But as it turns out, Towns can beat fours off the dribble. He could shoot over smaller fours if you play back. And teams started playing up on him to try and take away the three-point shot. So Towns said, fine, I have a long first stride, right? Towns isn't ultra-athletic. He's not super long. He's athletic enough and he has enough length. Plus long strides and a pretty good first step, a really good first step for somebody of his size. So Towns, the pump fake and drive was a big part of his game last year. And he did it with a great deal of success, right? I mean, he was much better last season overall than he was 2 years ago. He made his return to the All-NBA team. But to like really dive into the numbers a bit more, B-Ball Index does a really good job at breaking this down further. And among other things, they have a whole set of statistics on finishing, which talks about drives per 75 possessions, and then also a rim shot creation, drawing fouls at the rim, etc. So if you compare the last two seasons, Karl-Anthony Towns was far better last year, which again is not surprising, but it's nice to see these numbers. His adjusted drives per 75 possessions last season was 8.5, which was 76th percentile, which grades out according to B-Ball Index as a B+. 2 years ago, so a year prior to last, that was only 6 possessions per 75 possessions, which was 63rd percentile. So an extra 2.5 drives per 75 possessions last season for Karl-Anthony Towns versus the year prior. That was still a B- a couple of years ago, so a fair amount of it. But you go on down the line and all these, the total shots at the rim per 75 possessions, the unassisted rim field goal attempts per 75 possessions, rim shot creation overall, all that stuff was good. He improved from an A- to an A in rim shot creation. He still doesn't pass out of drives very often. And the turnover rate's not great. And the reason for that is less pass the pass out issue out of drives, because he doesn't actually pass often out of drives. So it's not like he's throwing the ball away. He does it occasionally. You know, he'll drive from the perimeter and rocket a pass into the corner and really into like the third row. That happens a little too frequently for Towns. But what happened more often was the offensive foul thing, right? Wasn't, I believe his offensive foul rate last year was like one, it was like almost like 30% of his fouls were offensive fouls last season or something. Maybe it was a quarter of them, some crazy number. And that's obviously his biggest issue on offense is the offensive foul thing, because of course it adds up from a, not only is it a turnover and hurts the team, hurts him individually, but it adds to his foul count for the night, obviously, right? And so that puts him in further jeopardy defensively. He has to be more careful on defense. He gives away easier buckets. It hurts the team. And then inevitably he gets in, you know, overall foul trouble, combining the offensive defensive fouls, and then the same thing, right? He's not on the floor as often, which hurts the Wolves. So the cheap offensive fouls, which a lot of times come, you know, he's hooking guys when he's dribbling from the perimeter, et cetera. That's really the only nit that I have to pick here with the way that Towns performs on the perimeter when he's got smaller guys who he can shoot over or take off the dribble because they're not as quick laterally as, you know, really even teams that play small. A lot of power forwards aren't, and they can't get with him or keep with him laterally. The other thing is if they can, he's still bigger than them. And as long as they don't goad him into the offensive foul, which we've seen teams do, smart teams will put smart defenders, even if they're a little bit overwhelmed in terms of physicality, they can goad Towns into being overly physical at times. And of course, if you put a five on Towns on the perimeter, he will beat them off the dribble 10 times out of 10. If they press up and try and contest a deep three, he'll just, you know, quick first step right past them all the way to the rim. And the Wolves offense is in good shape if they can do that. All the other numbers in terms of foul drive, foul drawn rates, contact finish rate, adjusted field goal percentage at the rim, all that stuff is up. You go down his basketball reference, excuse me, B-ball index page from 2 years ago, and we're looking at an A-, a C, a B+, a C for all those stats. Contact finish rate was a C. Adjusted field goal percentage at the rim was a B+. Rim shot quality was a C. Last season, those are all A-. A- contact finish rate, A- adjusted field goal percentage at the rim, A- rim shot quality, which is a Z-score rating estimate of the shot quality for shots taken at the rim. So basically, exactly what it sounds like, right? So instead of these just being contested offensive rebound putbacks, which, you know, still obviously you'd rather shoot at the rim than not shoot at the rim, these are largely uncontested looks at the rim, or at least looks that are higher quality, right? Because of him beating his man off the dribble, help, you know, teams aren't going to come and help on a Karl-Anthony Towns coming downhill unless you can step in and take a charge. Towns is fantastic once he does get to the rim. So the quick first step, the feel that continues to improve for Kat in terms of when do I shoot the three? When do I take this guy off the dribble? That's all improving for Karl-Anthony Towns. So go on down the line. All those finishing numbers, the perimeter numbers, the isolation numbers. We'll talk more about isolation numbers when we get into the actual Towns preview, which I think will be the first part of next week when I'll do a whole show on what to expect this year from Towns. But the isolations per 75 possessions are up. The isolation effective field goal percentage is up. All those numbers look great for Kat last season compared to 2 years ago. And now you add somebody with the roll gravity of Rudy Gobert. And if you don't know what that means, the easiest way to describe it is, you know, in pick and roll, when Jared Vanderbilt set a screen, nobody was worried about Vando rolling to the rim because he had terrible hands, has, you know, just didn't catch the ball. 1-2 possessions, turnovers a game, fumbling the ball out of bounds to the defense. He didn't have great size. Well, yes, he was athletic. You know, there weren't a whole lot of lob dunks for Jared Vanderbilt last year on pick and roll. Rudy Gobert is massive. He's athletic. He doesn't have outstanding hands, but he absolutely has better hands than Jared Vanderbilt. The sheer size, length, all that stuff, advantage over Vando, the gravity of Rudy rolling to the rim is going to pull, quite literally, defenses will be drawn to Rudy in the middle of the paint, which frees up so much more space for the ball handler, whether that's D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, maybe even Karl-Anthony Towns in a big, big pick and roll. Free up passing lanes to kick the ball back out to the perimeter, skip passes. Anything you want to do, the roll gravity of Rudy Gobert is going to impact the way the defenses play the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that's going to free up space for Karl-Anthony Towns, who's one of the most dynamic offensive players in the league, one of the best offensive bigs the league has ever seen. So all these numbers for Kat that improved last year are only going to get better this season. So that's a sneak preview of what I want to talk about in the Towns season preview. I'll mention the perimeter stuff. I'm not going to get as deep into it, but I want to talk more isolations. I want to talk about why I think the Rudy Towns, a little more in depth about the Rudy Towns pairing, why I think it will work, and also what Towns' best pairings are with the bench players. Because obviously you might start with the five that we're all expecting them to start with, But between foul troubles, injuries, matchups, and just the way that games go, you're going to see plenty of minutes with bench guys. So which bench guys are going to be the best match with Carl Anthony Towns this season for head coach Chris Finch? So we're going to do all that on the Towns preview show again, likely early next week, just depending on how news and everything else breaks out the rest of this week. First, though, before we do that, today I want to talk Jaden McDaniels. I want to close the show with a quick Jaden McDaniels preview. What I think his role will be this season, what I'm looking out for when it comes to Big Back. So we're going to do that here next. Jaden McDaniels is arguably the most interesting, individual player in terms of like, what's the variance of outcomes for Jaden McDaniels this year, right? We basically know what D'Angelo Russell is. Like, we'll talk more about this when we get to his preview. He's probably going to get some more assists this year, might shoot the ball a little less. He improved defensively a little last year. We pretty much know what he is as an NBA player. We're not going to get some kind of like crazy D'Lo outcome this year. Same thing with Carl Anthony Towns. We know he's fantastic. He's efficient offensively. If he can get into less foul trouble, perhaps it's a monster season for him. But we know what he is. Anthony Edwards, is going to, if he continues the incremental improvement, there could be a big breakout coming. But we mostly know what he is. We don't know what Jaden McDaniels is. 2 years ago, he was a bit miscast as an undersized four as a rookie, a 19-year-old what were expectations for Jaden McDaniels as a rookie? I mean, he was seen as this raw, like lottery potential in terms of his raw talent, but he slid all the way to the end of the first round as one of three first round picks by the Timberwolves acquired in a draft night trade. It was just kind of like, we'll see what we get out of Jaden. And he was a pleasant surprise, especially defensively. Chris Finch comes in mid season, takes over for Ryan Saunders and plays him more at the three than at the four. And then last year we saw a mix of that. And he was given the most difficult defensive assignments more often than not for the Wolves, was asked to do a bit more offensively. The Wolves wanted him to put the ball on the floor a little bit more, but rookie season Jaden McDaniels and second year Jaden McDaniels, his role was pretty different. And I think it continues to evolve in year three. And that's why I think the range of outcomes for Jaden McDaniels year three is really broad. We really don't know what to expect from him. I'll tell you what I think we can expect from him. What my best guess is, I'll start with what needs to happen. He needs to be comfortable as a fifth option with this team. And he basically was that last year anyway. Technically he didn't start, a chunk of games. How many games did he start total out of 70? He started 31. So I guess a little under half the games. He wasn't a regular starter. Once Jared Vanderbilt was in the lineup, Patrick Beverley was a starter. Those guys are gone. Jaden McDaniels will now be the clear-cut fifth option and almost certainly a starter unless things go awry or the Wolves decide Kyle Anderson's a better fit in the starting lineup. But I think it's really likely McDaniels starts at the three with, of course, Ant at the two, D'Lo at the one, and then Carl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert in the front court. So McDaniels is the clear-cut fifth option. Rudy Gobert, even though there are stretches where he doesn't do much offensively, I mentioned his role gravity last segment, he's going to expect the ball. He's going to be part of a lot of primary actions, a lot of ball screen action per usual on the perimeter, which is what he did his whole career in Utah. And we all know Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards are the top two options. And D'Angelo Russell, even if his usage goes down, and I expect that it will, it kind of has to, he's a bucket getter. He's going to get his shots, right? So of the five starters, Jaden McDaniels is by far the clear-cut fifth option. He has to be comfortable with that, but not only okay with it, he has to be impactful in the chances he gets. And it's tricky because I think his ceiling is absolutely higher than that of a role player in this league. But the Wolves are so stacked in terms of star power that they're going to be asking him to become a role player as a 21-year-old. I guess he turns 22 here in just a couple of days, this week actually. But they're going to be asking him to, in year three as a 22-year-old, like, hey, we expect to be a second round, if not conference finals playoff team. We're going to be a top 4 or 5 seed in the West. Worst case scenario is the plan. We need you to fit this specific role. Well, what is that role? Well, of course, he's going to be a primary defender for this team. I think Anthony Edwards will be guarding most primary ball handlers that are at least dynamic, athletic. As much as he can avoid foul trouble, and Ant's actually done a pretty good job of that for the most part in his career, certainly better than McDaniels. But if Ant's guarding, like, say, an ultra-athletic two who's a high-usage type guy, then Jaden only will need to guard bigger wings and forwards. And he's one of their top two perimeter defenders along with Ant. But I really think the Wolves are going to give Ant some of those more difficult smaller guards, because Jaden at times can get lost in the wash a bit, guarding smaller, quicker guards. I think he does struggle a little to keep up laterally. And so he's better suited to guard forwards and wings that look a little bit more like him, you know, like, I mean, the most obvious example in terms of a star that has a similar build to him would be like a Brandon Ingram, right? But obviously not limited to that, but that type of a player, right? Who's a little bit bigger, a little bit longer, athletic. Jaden's a very, very good, he is an above average defender, but I think the perception of his defense is maybe a little bit ahead of what the actual results have been. If you look at some of the different metrics, and actually Basketball Reference is a place I looked, or excuse me, I keep doing that, B-Ball Index, bball-index.com is a place I looked related to his defense as well. You know, we talked about that related to Towns, and I looked up Jaden McDaniels' defense and good grades, right? Mostly B pluses, some B minuses, and a couple of C's mixed in there. It has him as a really good off-ball defender, a B plus for off-ball chaser defense. Deflections per 75 possessions, his steal rate, three-point contests, all good numbers. They're not great numbers. ESPN's real plus minus would also suggest he's fairly average defensively. I think that number maybe undersells him a little bit because of his impact on the team defense. So I would still call him an above average defender. I just think perception's a bit ahead of the reality there for him. However, with Ant's emergence as a plus on-ball defender, and I truly believe he is a plus on-ball defender, Anthony Edwards is, Jaden can move to more of a free safety type role, which is what the Wolves essentially asked Ant to do at times last year, and kind of flip those roles, right? Where Jaden's more of the free safety, can guard the bigger, longer forwards. Ant is guarding the smaller, more athletic guards. You can hide D'Lo depending on the coverage you're playing. And then Kat and Rudy are your other defenders on the floor. With Gobert kind of holding down the back line, McDaniels is free to roam a little bit more. He can chase down weak side blocks, which he's fantastic at chase down blocks. But to help protect the weak side, if Rudy's, you know, guarding the back line and, you know, the action is away from where Jaden McDaniels is, McDaniels can really kind of help shore up that paint defense. So I think the defensive role is going to be really interesting this year to see how the Wolves split, how Chris Finch decides who's guarding who on a nightly basis between Jaden and Anthony Edwards, because they each have their own strengths and, you know, relatively limited weaknesses in terms of defense. Also, by the way, Ant is just better on the ball than he is off the ball. Jaden's pretty well-rounded defensively, obviously room for improvement as a 22-year-old, but I think if you have Ant on the ball in most scenarios and Jaden McDaniels guarding, you know, not the lead guard, but the next best offensive option with the ability to break off of him and play that free safety role, grab deflections, that's your better bet. Ant, if he's off the ball, can sometimes get a little distracted, like a daisical ball watching, get back cuts on him, gambles for steals in passing lanes. I'd rather have him on the ball and Jaden off the ball. So I think we'll see a little bit more of that this year. In terms of offense, last season, Jaden McDaniels saw his corner three-point rate go up. He attempted almost half of his threes last year, 49.6% to be exact, came from the corners, which was up from about a third of them as a rookie. But he only made 36% of corner threes, which that's league average overall for three-point percentage, but corner three, league average for corner threes is more in the 39 to 40% range. So a bit below average there for his career from the corners, 37.5%. So that number needs to come up a little bit. I think he'll get a lot more corner three opportunities again this season. Probably roughly half his three-point attempts will come from the corners, but he's got to improve from the slots. He's got to improve from the top of the key. He's going to get all kinds of catch-and-shoot opportunities. He's the one guy besides Rudy, of course, that opposing teams will be fine with him shooting a three. D'Angelo Russell, the numbers were down a little last year, but he's a plus three-point shooter with unlimited range. Ant will continue to improve from deep. And we know Karl Anthony Towns is one of the best shooters in the league, full stop. So teams are going to leave Jaden McDaniels on the perimeter. He's got to become a comfortable knockdown three-point shooter. And then when teams eventually begin to close out on him, which they're not going to immediately, he has to be comfortable putting the ball on the floor and creating. We saw as a rookie, he had some issues with doing that and then kind of stopping and popping from like 20 feet, shooting a bad contested long two, once, one and a half times a game as a rookie. He didn't really do that last year. He ran into some troubles trying to do too much in terms of creating once he put the ball on the floor. The turnover rate ticked up while the assist rate went down, which wasn't ideal. But he at least stopped shooting so many long twos. And if we can find, you know, hopefully he's a knockdown shooter to the extent that teams are closing out on him if he does get those opportunities. But then he can blow past people and be a factor in the half court, just getting to the rim and scoring for himself, not worrying about initiating for others. But he is going to need to have that. What's that second reaction when teams eventually do close out on him? The first problem is making the threes, and he makes enough of them now to at least have some impact. But if it's a pick your poison situation, you want Jaden, if you're the defense, you're allowing Jaden McDaniels to shoot 10 times out of 10 over Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, or, you know, an open dunk for Rudy at the rim. So, Jaden needs to improve that 3-point shot, and then he has to have an answer for when teams do start to close hard on him on the perimeter. What is he going to do? I think ultimately this year, as long as he can continue that improvement, you look at almost all the numbers, and there was an incremental improvement for Jaden McDaniels in year two from his rookie season. Now that he'll be playing more of the three, rebounding won't be as big of a deal. That's probably his biggest weakness, especially considering his size, athleticism, youth, all that. He should be a better rebounder. But with Rudy Gobert on the floor and Jaden McDaniels playing the three, that rebound number is probably going to get worse before it gets better. And that's okay, as long as he can have enough of an awareness to grab rebounds that are in his vicinity, which is, by the way, side note, a weakness of Anthony Edwards. He's a bad rebounder. And now the Wolves arguably would have two of them in the starting lineup with McDaniels and Anthony Edwards. They both are athletic enough that they should rebound the ball better than they have in their first two seasons in the league. But D'Lo is okay for a point guard. Towns is going to be a plus rebounder for power forward. And of course, Rudy's the best defensive rebounder in the league. So as long as they can rebound their zone, wherever they are on the floor, McDaniels and Edwards, I'm saying, with their length, with their athleticism, then that's not as big of a deal with him at the three as it was with him at the four, right? That was the issue with Jared Vanderbilt at the four. Neither one of them, McDaniels or Vanderbilt, were or are good defensive rebounders. So I think for McDaniels, if he can see that 3-point percentage just tick up slightly this season again and continue to be a good perimeter defender, be a willing off-ball and an effective off-ball defender. I think he starts at the three this season for the Wolves. I think he probably plays close to 30 minutes per game. And looking at what he did last year, what was his average per game? About 26 minutes per game. I think that's north of 30 this year. The Wolves are going to rely heavily on him to help defensively with Ant and Rudy Gobert as kind of those three are the players that the Wolves will rely on defense this season, or at least in the starting lineup. And he's just got to bring it and be comfortable in that role, knowing that, yes, the ceiling for Jaden McDaniels is much higher. It's probably a strong starting caliber player who could be better than a fifth option. But this season, in his age 22 season, year three in the league, that's what the Wolves need from Jaden McDaniels. I think we'll get it. I think he'll be comfortable in that role. We saw enough flashes. He flashed in the playoffs last year, too. McDaniels showed some real improvement, continued improvement towards the end of the season and in the playoffs. So if we get more of that this year from Jaden, then look out. I mean, who knows what happens with D'Angelo Russell after the season? We talked about that on Monday's show. Maybe it's a lower usage point guard that comes into play, and Ant is initiating more offense. And then all of a sudden, Jaden is now your fourth option, or maybe even your third option, depending on how Rudy ages the next couple of years. The Wolves are going to have to make extension decisions on Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards here soon, too. Not that there's much of a decision to be made. But all that to say, Jaden McDaniels is probably the most intriguing player on the roster, individual player, in terms of what the range of outcomes could be. What's the floor? What's the ceiling? What does this look like moving forward? So I'm really fascinated to see what Jaden McDaniels brings to the table throughout the season and how Chris Finch uses him throughout the season as well. All right, that's all we have for today here on the show. We'll continue the player preview series the rest of the week, and we'll keep moving through the starting lineup. I think we'll probably do D'Lo here on Wednesday's show, and then we'll get into next Monday. I think that's probably where we'll line out with doing Carl Anthony Towns, and then we'll get into previewing the first preseason game against the Heat next Tuesday. Believe it or not, we're only a week away. Of course, you can find the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes YouTube. If you watch on YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment below. If you listen on Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, anywhere else, please help us out with a review. It's greatly appreciated. We are daily Monday through Friday now that we are into training camp. Of course, you can follow the show on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and also at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K, ESPN. The Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now make your second listen the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Show. Josh Lloyd hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet. It's free and available wherever you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.